up. This is Caroline with the CWC podcast, where we believe that life without your favorite foods is not worth living. I'm going to be talking a lot about my journey to food freedom, and of course, I will always keep it real by sharing the good, the bad, and of course, the ugly. Welcome back to the CWC podcast. I did not even think we were going to have an episode this week, honestly, because it's a long story, and I'll start with, I was trying to take a break on my Vyvanse and it went horribly wrong. And I'm going to go over basically, like, I'm pretty much just an all or nothing type of human. And I don't know how to function outside of that. Like, and, you know, having people in your life to talk to and help you navigate things is so important. And so I was talking to Dana about this yesterday as I was spiraling. And then I talked to my sister, and my sister just, like, had this answer. Like, she just was like, this is what you need to do. Why don't you just lower your dose? Why are you just getting off of it? Like, you need this medication. You know that. And I was like, why did I, like, it didn't even cross my mind to drop my dose down. And when she said to do that, I was just like, I don't know. It just made perfect sense. And, like, I had just initially was like, well, I guess I can't take this anymore. This is so nice. I'm like, I can take these little pauses. I'm just filming audio today. I'm not doing, like, the video, and I'll get into that as well. Like, why? But, like, I can pause this now that I'm sitting right in front of my computer, like, right in front of my microphone. Normally I'm, like, sitting on my couch and I'm filming the video and I have to, like, do the whole thing. I have to, like, get dressed and shower and put makeup on. Like, not that I have to, but I want to look nice if I'm going to film a podcast. So, like, there's just kind of, like, a whole production that is behind doing the videos. Like, I have to get ready. I'm sitting down. I have to set my camera up to film. And then, like, getting the drive or the file, like, the video file to JJ is such a pain in the ass because it's a large file. So, like, sending an audio file takes, like, 2 minutes. But the video file, I either have to, like, upload it to my Dropbox, which takes hours, and then I have to share it with him. Or I have to literally put it on a drive, like a flash drive, and drive an hour and drop it off in his mailbox. So it's kind of a pain in the ass, and it has been this entire time. But there are episodes that I love doing videos because I can add, like, if I'm adding pictures of my transformations or clients' transformations, I like to add those so you guys can see them. And, you know, I've been kind of wrestling with this idea to just do audio for a while now because, honest to God, I could probably drop 2 episodes a week if I just did audio. Like, that's how easy it is. And, but everybody's like, I really like watching my YouTube channel. When I put the podcasts on there, like, a lot of people watch them because that's kind of how I started out, I guess. I started out, my whole business started out doing live videos on Facebook. So people, that's that connection that I have with people that I've curated and built, and I don't take it for granted. I want to continue doing that for the people who want to watch. But again, like, going back to this all or nothing mindset of, like, well, I just can't, I guess I just won't do the video, and maybe I should, but maybe I shouldn't. And then again, one of my friends was like, why don't you just sometimes do an audio only? And then, like, every now and then, like, you can still film the video, like, especially if you have, like, a guest on. And I was like, wow, what a fucking revelation. Like, I don't know. I just feel like my brain does not, and it doesn't function at, like, a normal person's brain. And for those of you who are new listeners and may not know, I have OCD. And so I think that also contributes to, like, just my brain always wants to jump to the worst case scenario. It wants to assume things that maybe aren't even close to being real or true, and then convince me that they are, and then convince me that I have to spend every fucking waking moment of the day worrying about those things. And rationalization doesn't work. And And I really do think that like a side piece of that is also just that all or nothing mentality of like not even that. I mean, even if it's not related, who cares to my OCD? But like, I wish I could access like that middle part of my brain. And what was so ironic about me even starting a business where I'm coaching people on fucking balance, like, is that I literally was the queen of never having a balance in my life. And my sister was always cracking jokes about like when I started my transformation and I was crazy restrictive and like I would not even look at a Dorito. She was like, you have gone from one end of the spectrum to the other. And now like, can't you just find a balance? Like I wasn't even leaving my house. I wasn't even leaving my house to go out to dinner with friends because I didn't want to be around the food and smell it. Like, because I didn't trust myself around food. So, you know, the irony is still not lost on me that I have people who pay me to teach them about balance. However, I have learned over the years that I can apply balance to my life. And honestly, at this point where I'm at right now, I really don't feel like I have a choice. And I'm going to go into a little bit of that. So I don't really know where I want to start yet. I made a few notes. I want to talk about, you know, the Vyvanse thing. I want to talk about, you know, having certain seasons of life and accepting that and then figuring out what you can do in those seasons as opposed to fighting the season and trying to fit something that you think you want into that season when it just doesn't work. And that is just going to leave you beating your head up against a wall. I'm also going to talk about how millennials have it like worse than any other generation. And I'm not going like before I even like broach that subject. I'm just going to talk about my own personal experience being a millennial. And I think that a lot of people who also are will agree with me and can empathize with the things that I'm saying and relate to them. I'm not going back and saying millennials right now have it worse than, you know, people 100 years ago or someone, I don't know. That's probably one of my the most important things I've ever learned was if I was upset about something or I was really frustrated with a situation that I was in or something that happened and I was angry and sad and emotional, if someone was like, well, so-and-so has it worse. These people have it worse. There's people who have it way worse than you. You need to be grateful. You need to be thankful for what you do have. You need to focus on the good. That did nothing but completely rob. And I'm not just talking about me. What that does is it robs you of you acknowledging the emotion and processing it and moving past it. And because I have OCD, I got so into the habit of every time I got upset about something, I'd be like, well, so this person has it way worse. I don't deserve to feel this way. So over and over and over, I'm like, telling myself that I don't deserve to feel my feelings. That is literally what I have told myself my entire fucking life. You do not deserve to feel your feelings. And just for starters, like I grew up in a house where I was sent to my room to deal with my feelings. A lot of the times I was alone and I don't want to say alone. I'm not, but just, I'll say that I never felt safe to express the way I was fucking feeling, especially if it was anger or rage or sadness. And as women, I think most of us can fucking agree that we are not really allowed to feel those feelings in public or out loud, like in front of people. We're always shamed for it. At least I was. And, you know, so then you just get to a point where you just kind of tuck everything down and you don't want to have someone bitch at you for crying or bitch at you for expressing how you feel, and you just want to feel it. And, you know, feelings kind of demand to be felt and they will eventually come up to the surface. again, and demand to be felt if you push them down long enough. And this happened last weekend when I was spiraling about after the Nashville shooting last week. That really, really just sent me into another dimension. It's like, how long is this going to go on? And just the theatrics of what is happening with our government and the utter refusal to do literally anything to make this better is maddening. And it's can consume you as a parent, as a mother, as a father, as anybody, really. I mean, it's like, I just don't understand it. And the type of person that I am, and I always have been, is if something is like a blatant injustice, it is so hard. I almost have to like not even pay attention to it. Like if it's something I can't personally change myself, like I have no control over this, I have to just like not turn a blind eye, but like not think about it, not consume information about it, because it will eat me alive from the inside out. And that's kind of what happened last week. I kept my kids home from school on Thursday last week. And then it's just kind of spiraling in this same feeling of, my gut wants to take them out of school and just like, fuck it. I don't even care anymore. Like, I don't even care about homeschooling. None of this shit matters. I'm just going to take them out of school. Like, problem solved. We'll sleep in every day and do what we want. Like, I don't even care. And then I'm like, okay, but I understand that that would be sacrificing my sanity at some point. Like, that's fine to do if it was like for a week. But like long-term, them never going back to school, that my sanity would suffer. And I know that. And I'm okay admitting that. Like, I know it. And so it's like, okay, I'm sitting here kind of, I feel like in a lose-lose of, I take them out and then I remove that fear that I have every day that I drop them off every day in the pit of my stomach all day. And I have them home with me and I know they're safe. And then I'm obviously giving up my sanity. Or I keep my sanity. I keep my days where I can work and be productive and do my CWC stuff and my content creating, and it fulfills me and makes me happy. But I'm worried all day long, every day. It's like, I literally feel like I'm playing Russian roulette every day I take my kids to school. And, Josh kind of laughed at me last week when I was like in the middle of a sob fest saying that, like, I felt like I'm playing Russian roulette. He was like, Caroline, come on. I'm like, that's what I feel like. And you can't fucking take that away. Like, that is what I feel like when I drop them off. Maybe you don't, but your brain doesn't work the same way that mine does. And, it's just, it's really frustrating feeling like, I think that I've just been living in fight or flight my whole life. And I don't know, honestly, now that it's going to change. I really don't. Like, and I'm just like, at this point, I'm laughing about it. I'm making jokes about it. Because what the fuck else do you do? And now I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about, being a millennial and how we've kind of just been like smacked in the face since we were born. And I'm going to just, these are my own thoughts. These are my own feelings. No one's going to take that away from me. This is my experience. I'm going to share it and hopefully someone relates. And if not, whatever. So I think everyone, not everybody, God, I don't want to generalize. Most of us millennials grew up differently than the way our children are growing up. And I think we can all agree on that. And I get it. Times are different. But here's the thing. We were parented very differently. Like I said, there was just never like, let's make sure that you really feel this emotion that you're feeling and get in tune with everything. And, it's okay to cry. And I didn't have any of that. And a lot of people my age also did not. Like, I have A lot of my friends were latchkey kids, and like that was our generation. And while I was not a latchkey kid, I knew a lot of people who were. And I just feel like our parents weren't as present. I mean, mine were. I don't want to like, I'm not throwing anybody under the bus here. I just feel like it just, I don't know. Like, even I was just regaling like stories of how I used to like go to the mall and like steal jeans and shit. And like, no one ever knew. No one ever found out. I was such an unruly teenager. Like, I used to go out and drink in my little red Honda Prelude. I would get so drunk and drive around town all night. We would spend the night in my car drinking Busch Light. And then I would pass out in a neighborhood in my car. Like, I don't even know how I'm still alive. And I say that with like, I am not exaggerating. If I really went in right now in detail of some of the shit that I did when I was going through that phase, when I was, it was junior, senior year of high school, when I was running rampant and drinking. And I did go to juvenile hall once. I went to jail. Like, I went to street school. I got kicked out of my first semester of senior year because I got caught being drunk on school premise at a dance with beer in my, like a 30 pack of beer in my car. And I got expelled and had to go to street school on the north side. And it was very, very scary. You know, I thought I was unruly and had all these problems. And then I went to street school and there were kids literally fucking in the bathroom. And I was like the only one in class actually doing the work. And that was, honest to God, like the biggest wake up call for me, having to go to street school every day. And it was scary. Like, it, so, you know, I was very, very out of control. And I, you know, I feel like I didn't really have anybody there for me during those times. I felt very alone. And so my answer, if I was feeling a certain way about something, was to just drink it away. And it worked for a while. Like, that was what I turned to because that was the answer. It was like, if I feel uncomfortable at a party, I'm gonna get fucking hammered. If I feel like I don't want to go to this person's house, I'm going to drink so that I can go to that person's house and mingle with people. If, you know, I literally just began turning to alcohol for every emotion that I didn't know how to deal with on my own. And it was a very, very hard time in my life. And I didn't realize it, obviously, until, you know, now that I'm 40, I look back on this and I'm like, oh my God, I see what was going on very clearly now as an adult. But at the time I was just spiraling out of control. And so, you know, then I believe it was, I was in college when 9/11 happened. Yeah. It was literally like my first semester of college, 2001. And I'll never forget. I was at my house and I watched it on the television. And I remember Josh called me and was like, did you see what happened? It was like I was normally at Josh's house. And for some reason I went back to my mom's house where I was at, like part-time staying at that point. And I don't even remember why, but I thought it was weird that I wasn't with Josh when I saw it on the news. And so he called me and I'll just never forget that feeling of, this is something big. Like, this is a big deal. This is really scary. But I was still young enough to like not really understand like the gravity of the situation. So, you know, and then of course everything changed after 9/11. Everything changed. And I feel like ever since 9/11, like, we have not caught a break. And when I say we, I'm referring to millennials. Like, we grew up like not really having like that nurturing. And again, I'm not generalizing and saying every fucking millennial. I'm saying most of us did not get that nurturing parental, you know, support that we needed. And it was, if you fall down, it's like, get up, you're fine. And don't whine about this. And you got to work this and you got to go to college and get an education so that you can get a good job. No one's going to hire you if you don't have an education. School is the most important thing unless you have a scholarship from playing sports. So those are basically your options because, you know, my parents didn't have the money to send me to college. So everything was basically like on... I don't know. It was just all focused on what can you do to perform? What can you do to get the best job? What can you do to act a certain way and be the best person and act like you have your shit together? And I don't know. I feel like it was like this whole facade. And now as a parent of like the Gen Z, maybe even younger, my kids are probably gonna be younger than Gen Z. Like, I just find that we are... not expected to. I think we're the generation that is changing things for the younger generation. Like, I feel like I saw the thing I posted last night was basically saying like every millennial who is sitting there, like sitting in shock and trauma and desensitization right now, like knowing that we raised the most like feral, headstrong generation that's like probably going to change the world. And it was so on point because it's like, we were so... And again, I'm not like I had, I'm not going to go into it. I feel like essentially we were a little neglected for sure emotionally. And so then as we grew up, we did not have any of the skills or tools to deal with any of our emotions. I still fucking don't. I'm still learning at 40 how to deal with my emotions. And hell, I will say there are boomers who still don't know how to deal with their emotions. They don't even like talking about it. I'm getting better, but it's still hard. Because when you grow up and like that's like considered the ugliest part of yourself to even talk about feeling weak or talking to a therapist or talking about your problems, like, no, you just act like you don't have problems. Well, what does that do? Everybody has problems. So when you just like all you do is spend every minute trying to hide them, that doesn't do anything. Like it just suppresses them even more and they will boil over at some point. And so... we had it so hard and then we grow up and now as parents, I'm like, we really weren't, I don't want to raise my kids that way at all. But it's just funny because I feel like that was like the easy way out, if that makes sense. I feel like the boomers took the easy way out and they just like spanked us and got mad at us and like would send us to our room and like, we don't do that. Like I'm putting in the work with my kids. I am sitting down with them if they're upset and I want to talk to them and be like, what's going on? How are you feeling about this? That's okay. I want to really reinforce that any way that they feel about something is okay. And which requires so much more from like the parenting aspect. Like you're just like required to show up even when I don't feel mentally stable to do this 90% of the time. Like 90% of the time, I don't feel stable enough to be a parent and like be in charge of raising someone and like making sure that their mental well-being is on point because mine is not. And it's just ironic. And so now you have all of us kind of being forced to deal with our shit from our childhood, which really wasn't even our fault. So we have to deal with it. We are growing from it. We're learning. And now we are, you know, imparting that on our kids and teaching them better ways to live. Meanwhile, you've got social media. I'm not even going to go into all of this because like it's just so much, which is where I feel like a lot of us are. Maybe you aren't. I'm sorry, but I look at people these days and I'm like, if you look like you have your shit together, like I almost get triggered. Like I don't even want to look at you or know you because I don't understand how in today's society right now, how anyone could be thriving or have their shit together. I just don't. And it's really frustrating. And I get really angry about it. And for someone who I lived my whole life feeling like I never had anything figured out. I never had my shit together. I was literally called Crazy Caroline all the time. And then when I started my transformation in 2014, man, I just felt like I knew everything. I felt like I had everything under control. Nothing could stop me. I literally felt unstoppable. Like I would wake up and just, I don't know, I just emitted confidence and self-assurance. And I just went to the gym every day and worked out and I felt great and I was eating great. And like, once I got to a point where like I felt so good and I liked my body, it wasn't hard, like keeping that up and doing all the things. And mentally, I didn't struggle. Like, ever. Like, for struggling my whole life mentally and then all of a sudden feeling like, at the end of the day, it kind of appeared to me that like working out and, you know, really I was not eating like unhealthy. I wasn't eating gluten. I went a really long time with no alcohol, no gluten, no sugar, and no dairy. And it just became my life. Like I stopped eating those things. And, it, you know, so much to when I would eat them, it would make me so ill that like I didn't even want to eat them. So like I got to a point, I can't even believe I'm about to say this, but like I got to a point during my transformation from about 2020, whatever. I like didn't drink like at all. And the reason being is I was working out 6 days a week, every week, no matter what. And if I drank alcohol, it would ruin my workout, ruin it. It would ruin my sleep. And my workouts were my medication. Like I wasn't medicated at all for my mental health. I didn't need to be at the time. So working out was like taking my medication every day. It was like taking an anti-anxiety pill. So if something messed with that or like made it harder, I just didn't do it. So I stopped drinking alcohol, which for me was huge. Like alcoholism runs in my family. It runs rampant on my dad's side. And I primarily take after my dad. So, you know, I started drinking when I was 15. And that did not stop until I was fucking 34 years old. Like, and I'm sorry, but like I've been drinking heavily on like from 15 to 34, like not really knowing when to reel it in. Like it was a crutch to deal with my shit. And so when I stopped, when I did my transformation, I had never felt better. Like I just didn't know how good you could feel mentally and physically not drinking. And when 2020 happened, we were quarantined, it slowly, I had been having like a cocktail on the weekends, but like that was it. Like, so like once I really was like doing macros and CWC and I was running my own business, I had started having like one cocktail maybe on a Saturday. And that wasn't even every Saturday. So it was every now and then with Josh, I would enjoy one, but that was it. So I wouldn't even classify that as like, I would maybe have two a month. And so when 2020 hit, I remember being very scared, like, oh my God, this is going to rear its ugly head. Here we go again. Like, I just know. And it didn't for a while. And then I started having more and more, but still wasn't like out of control by any means. And when we moved to the mobile home, I even made a joke after Lulu died. I literally joked and like grabbed a bottle of vodka out of our freezer and I sent it to my sister and was like, bottoms up. Like, I felt so empty after Lulu died. And she was like, okay, like, you know, drink, have a drink. That's great. But like, I'm going to be checking on you in like a week. Like you can't keep this going. Like she knew. And even Josh was like, I literally could see the fear in his eyes. And I didn't pick it up again. Like I literally, I think took a shot and then I put it up and didn't touch it again. Like, and when we moved into this house that we're in now, I started drinking. And I know that it is a result of everything that's going on that I don't feel like I have any control over. Like this, just the stuff that's happening with the government and our society and the school shootings, like these things to me now are all a very, to be honest, like I'm not excusing it, but I kind of am. Like, I feel like at this point, like whatever you can do to continue moving forward every day, I don't even think it matters anymore. I've been very, very apathetic about life for a while now. And I'm gonna laugh about it because again, like if you can't laugh about this, like what the fuck else is there to do? So, you know, I had started drinking and then I, you know, since we moved into this house, I talk about how I had a UTI the day we moved into this house. And ever since then, that was December of 2021. And from December of 2021 until literally almost mid 2022, 18 months of nonstop back and forth UTIs, like could not get them under control to save my life. It didn't matter what I did. And at the time, I was working on balancing my hormones, all this stuff. Well, then in August last year, I got diagnosed with ADHD and I started taking, you know, I tried Adderall, it didn't work. It gave me suicidal thoughts. So I got off of that and we started Vyvanse. I've been on Vyvanse since like September of last year and it has literally changed my life. Like I'm not saying that in like a small term, like my life is literally a complete 180 being on this medication. Now I'm going somewhere with this. You know, with like, I almost feel like if I'm not taking that, I don't even know what would happen like to my mental health right now. I really don't. And I got like a taste of that this weekend. So a few of the side effects that I do experience on the Vyvanse are an elevated heart rate, which we get it. It's like taking speed. It's a fucking stimulant. So I get that. It's going to raise my heart rate. But it's getting high. Like my resting heart rate went from like a 55 to a 70. And like, that's not good. But I'm also taking Armour for my thyroid, which also raises your heart rate. So I can't blame it all on the Vyvanse. It has increased a little bit of my rage, but that's kind of started to level out. My anxiety, I feel like, is a little bit worse just because I have that like heart palpitation feeling most of the day from taking a stimulant. It just murders my appetite. Like if I take it without eating, which I didn't realize this, and I'll go into this here in a minute, but like I was just waking up and taking my Vyvanse and then drinking a double cappuccino like a fucking idiot, not even thinking that like that's going to like have an effect. Well, it's also been messing with my sleep, but there's also other things that like I didn't even realize until yesterday that are also affecting my sleep that I can change and cut out. And at the end of the day, I was like, oh, I can't take this anymore. It's affecting all this stuff. It's affecting my heart rate, my appetite, my sleep, my anxiety. I'm just going to get off of it. Like I didn't even go to like, okay, well, let's try going from 40 milligrams to back down to 30. Because I started at 30. I thought 30 was the lowest dose. And so I did amazing on 30. And then for, you know, whatever reason, I like to say, like, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I was like, damn, I feel really good. And so my psychiatrist was like, do you want to try 40? And I was like, sure. Well, that's when things kind of started, you know, I don't want to say getting worse, but like just the side effects started getting worse. So why didn't I just say, oh, let's try going back down to 30. So I, last week, you know, I'm like, weekends, I sleep in. That's my time to like sleep in and catch up on my sleep. And I can't fucking do that anymore because I have to get up to take my goddamn Vyvanse. If I miss my window to take it, it's an extended release. Like if I wake up at 9, it's too late to take it. So like I was forcing myself to get up on the weekends, which is normally my day to sleep in. And that was also affecting my sleep. So I'm like, I'll just not take it. So I didn't take it on Saturday. I didn't take it on Sunday. And I didn't take it on Monday of this week. Well, Tuesday, which was yesterday, I was supposed to film a podcast. That's the Tuesdays are my days to film podcasts, which I did not do yesterday. And I had taken my Vyvanse because I was like, I got to get some stuff done today. And my house in a matter of 3 days, Saturday to Monday, when I did not take it, my house had literally gone to shit. It was so messy. There was laundry piling up, which never happens anymore. Dishes everywhere. There was just, it was a mess. And when I took my pill yesterday, my house was like spotless within, I mean, I spent like 4 hours cleaning my house. But other than just like the energy and will to want to live and clean my house and get my shit done, mentally, I was like, I cannot not be on this medication. Like, I don't know how long, I don't want to go into this with like, I don't want to plan on taking this for the rest of my life. But who fucking knows? I might need it. Like, I don't know. Maybe I just, and so anyway, after I took it and I was just spiraling, like just realizing that I needed this medication to function, I called my sister and I was like, I need to talk. Like, I don't know what's going on. And I told her what was happening. And she's like, Caroline, you can't not take this. Like, this is something that your brain, she's like, because my sister's on it too. We both have this. And she was like, why would you just stop it? Like, ask if you can go back down to the 30 or if they have a lower dose. And I'm like, I don't think they have a lower dose. She was like, okay, but ask them. So I emailed my psychiatrist yesterday and I was like, hey, I think instead of just stopping it, like, I really do think that I need it, but can we like maybe take me back down to the 30? And she was like, well, we have a 20 milligram too. And I was like, oh my God, I want to try the 20. So I'm extremely hopeful and confident now that like, I don't have to get off of it completely, because just in a matter of 3 days, I saw how much it affected my mental health. Now, before anyone comes at me and they're like, oh, I listened to the podcast, it was probably just a period of time that your body was trying to regulate. Like, it doesn't matter at this point. Like, how much I was spiraling yesterday, like right before I took my pill, like it was just like, no, I can't do this. Like, I felt different yesterday. I was in a complete and utter panic. I talked to Dana this morning and she was like, you sound like a different person today. She was like, it is almost scary how different you sound. So at this point where we're at with everything, I feel like anything that anyone wants to do, I mean, other than hurting people, obviously, but like, and this may sound like a really awful like message to put out there, but you know, I'm not ever going to promote drinking. I've been drinking a lot lately and I need to trim that back. And I'm going to say something that I was going to say a minute ago about my sleep being affected by the Vyvanse. It was actually more so because I have been drinking vodka Coke again, because I'm not having issues with my bladder. So I'm like, this is great. And I know that that's, you know, it's not just the Vyvanse making me stay up till 1 o'clock. If I'm having a fucking vodka Coke or two of them before bed, that's straight up sugar and caffeine. So that's also affecting it. So there are things that I know I can do on my own that I need to do that don't have to be a drastic change to help me be able to be able to take my meds to help me function and also, you know, not be compromising the way I feel mentally and physically with my health, if that makes sense. So as opposed to just rampantly stopping my medicine and being an idiot and then suffering, but not doing anything to change my daily habits is kind of silly. So now I'm like, okay, I feel like I have a really good game plan. We're going to do the 20 milligrams. Instead of doing the fucking double cappuccino in the morning, I did a single this morning. And my sister was like, are you eating with your Vyvanse? And I was like, well, no, I come home and I have my double cappuccino. She's like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, what are you doing? Of course you aren't hungry. Of course you're like having heart palpitations like crazy. You're drinking like two shots of espresso and taking a fucking 40 milligrams of Vyvanse. So I really think I have a good, like, I feel like an idiot. I felt like a child yesterday when I realized all this and I was like, wow, I just felt like, how did I not see any of this? So I ate breakfast this morning. I came home and made like scrambled eggs and I ate before I took my 30 milligram because I have some left over. They just called in my 20 milligram today. So I had some 30 milligrams left. So I took that after I ate my eggs. I actually don't feel as like as keyed up as I normally do. And I also had a single cappuccino instead of a fucking double. And it's just like, this is the shit I preach to my clients. I'm like, you don't have to cut everything out. You can do less. You can like cut small things out, but you don't have to be all or nothing. And it's like, why can't I do this with myself? like almost like I need someone to coach me on this. And it was in the form of Dana and my sister yesterday, just trying to figure out like, okay, number one, you need this. Let's figure out how you can still take it and have it not affect you in the way that it's been, you know, negatively affecting you and making you want to stop it. So I feel really good about this and just now very confirmed that I need this to function. And I think that I may still take like at least one day a week off, maybe two on the weekends, just to like be able to sleep in and, you know, lounge around the house. I don't need to be like crazy fucking productive every Saturday, Sunday anyway. So I'm just going to try to find a happy medium with it, honestly. So, but back to what I was saying about like to kind of end it with, you know, this at this point, I used to be someone who was very anti-medication, anti-everything. I would always, my OCD, if I tried to like be healthy or something or do a diet, my OCD would make it to where it was almost debilitating to live. Like if I was trying to do all organic, I would literally like throw out my all-purpose flour and my bleached sugar and all of these bad chemical foods. And then I would buy rice flour, which was tasted like shit. And then I would buy like monk fruit sugar and like all these things that didn't have chemicals and processed ingredients. And it would like stress me out to the point to where I literally couldn't just do something half-assed. Like if I was doing something, it was 100%. Well, if you've ever done like a diet like that, where you try to cut out all like processed shit and like eat super clean, it fucking sucks and it tastes like shit. So it's not fun. It's not enjoyable. And then you get really fucking hangry and you end up eating shit at some point anyway, whether it's like Taco Bell or like some crap that you end up making on the weekend because you're just tired of your diet. It agonized over shit like that my entire life. And I was literally a prison to whatever fad I was hopping onto at that point. And it was awful. And so because of how just overwhelmed I've been with everything lately, I just don't have, and I say lately, meaning since 2020, I just don't have the capacity to give a shit about a lot of stuff I used to give a shit about anymore. I just don't. I don't care. And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think for someone like me who does struggle with OCD, that's a good thing to kind of be like, fuck it. Like, fuck it. I don't give any fucks about it anymore. Like, I don't care that there's like weed killer in my cereal. Like I like Lucky Charm. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to eat it all day, every day. But I think it's like, at some point, what's worse? Me agonizing over it and spending every ounce of my mental energy and every second of the day obsessing about chemicals in my food, or just buying food and eating it on occasion and not worrying about it? I feel like at this point we're kind of screwed. There's chemicals everywhere and now we're having chemical spills. So what the fuck does it matter? And again, I'm not saying all of this with like, I'm just being very real. As a millennial, we have been through the ringer, and now, like, I feel like every year since I was born, we've been hit with something. Like, at least since the 9/11, and then we had the fucking market crash of 2008, and that was traumatic as fuck. We were trying to sell a house in 2008, which was impossible, if you remember. It took us almost 3 years to sell this house. It was such an awful experience. It did teach us a very good lesson about money early on, which I guess I'm thankful for. And then we moved into our rent house in Maple Ridge, like one bathroom, two bedroom house. That's when I got pregnant with Bryn. And then, you know, honest to God, since we kept having, I don't have time right now to like remember all of the fucking major crap ass events that happened since 9/11 and then the market crash of 2008. So we've already lived, now we're living through another recession. So as a millennial, we can now say that we have lived through two fucking recessions. And now we have inflation and all this other shit. And now we can't even send our kids to school without worrying that they're going to get shot with an assault rifle. Like, it's quite ridiculous if you think about it. Like, our parents never had to worry about, now I will say, like, I am glad that we have like phones and trackers so I can like track my kids. I do enjoy that part of technology, but like our parents never ever had to, I don't want to say never worry, but like you literally can't even send your kids anywhere without an adult these days without worrying that someone is going to grab them, something's going to happen to them. It's just, I feel like, and maybe it's because of social media that we just know about it more. Maybe it was happening back then, but we weren't like privy to it because we didn't have phones and TikTok and we didn't know. So my brain is kind of lost on that. I don't know if it has been this rampant this whole time. We just now know about it. But we are now inundated every second of every day, every hour of everything that's going on in the world. Every day. I literally am sitting here looking at my fucking, whatever it's called, my little device on my desk that shows me like the news in the world that's happening. And I'm like, I'm already like digesting all these news stories that are happening right now that like, I don't really need to know about. Like our brains don't have the capacity to digest all of the news that's happening around all parts of the globe every day. And so we wonder why we're walking around completely overstimulated to the point that we are completely desensitized at this point, or at least I am. Maybe no one else is. I'm desensitized. We don't have the luxury anymore to even send our children to school and then spiral, right? Like our parents may have had stuff to worry about, but it sure as fuck wasn't sending us to school. They could still know that we could go to school and learn and be safe. I feel like at the very least, we deserve that as parents, and we don't have that luxury anymore. So now Yeah, I'm working from home, but I'm in like a constant state of fear every day that I'm working from home. I don't even enjoy working from home now because I'm constantly worried about my kids at school. That's not okay. And the fact that no one gives two shits and is doing nothing to fix it, the people in power is who I'm talking about. Like the fact that they are literally like fighting tooth and nail to like keep the Second Amendment, it is wild to me. Like I don't understand it. My brain can't wrap around the fact that this is literally almost being like encouraged to happen. And that at this point is what it feels like, because they're not doing anything at all to hike up the restrictions on the ability to get these weapons. They just don't care. And that's, you know, it's disgusting. And when I think about it too long, it sends me into a not good place. And, you know, I feel like I was watching TikTok the other night, and this girl said something like, why aren't we having like a midlife crisis like our parents did? Like she was like, do you guys notice that? Like we aren't going through that midlife crisis where like our dads bought my dad bought a fucking Corvette when he went through his midlife crisis. And then you have these, you know, back in the day, it was like the women who went through the midlife crisis, like went and had an affair or like bought all this stuff and like spent a bunch of money. And that's like the boomers had all this shit. Like they had this, like when they hit 40, they had an over the hill party. I remember my parents having an over the hill party and being like, why are you calling 40 over the hill? I was always so confused by that. And what's really funny is I feel like since I've hit 40, I feel so like, aside from like my physical limitations, because my body just not wanting to cooperate, and it's because of the impending doom and stress, I'm sure. But like, I feel mentally so much better than I feel like I would have at 40 based on what I saw my parents go through. Like, I just remember them being like, it's over. When you turn 40, it's fucking over. Life's over. I'm like, no, I disagree. I feel like I'm coming into who I really, really am at this age. Sex is so much better because I don't know if this is just a thing I've heard, that like sex is so much better when you're in your 40s. Like I can attest that that is absolutely true. And I'm assuming it's because you know what you like and you can express that and you know more. And I didn't know jack shit. I mean, me and Josh talk about this all the time. He's like, I didn't have a clue like back in the day. And I'm like, I didn't either. Like I had no clue about anything. When you're a kid, you're just like banging. You don't even know like what you're trying to achieve. Anyway, not trying to get off that subject, but like, I just like, anyway, back to the TikTok, the guy was basically saying like, yeah, millennials are not having a midlife crisis because we can't afford to, we don't have the capacity to, we don't have the energy to care about formulating a midlife crisis. And like, if you're talking about financially, like a lot of people don't have the luxury to go buy a muscle car or do whatever it is in terms of having a midlife crisis. Like we're too worried about being able to send our fucking children to school and hope that they come home alive. Like midlife crisis is not even in our fucking peripheral. And it's just so funny when you think about it like that, how little our parents' generation had to worry about. Like they really didn't. They really didn't. If you are a boomer, you lived through some of the greatest times. Like you got to grow up in the fucking 70s and 80s and be a teenager and get fucking like drugged out of your mind at fucking Woodstock. And like, then you grow up and like, man, the economy is fucking booming. You're fucking like reaping the benefits of that. And then you have your kids and it's like, now ever since we were born, all the shit is just crumbling to the fucking ground. And it's really hard. It's hard. There are days I don't want to be here at all. I don't have a fucking desire to live through any more of this bullshit. I just don't. And that is hard when I have literally built my whole business on motivating people and inspiring people. And the person that I was when I used to do those live videos back in the day is not the same person that sits here today. It's just not. Like too much has happened, too much has changed. And it sucks, there's days I wish there's days that I long for that again, but we can't go back in time. I can't do anything about it other than like, do what I can now, which is try to put out a message of, okay, I have this platform. I can either abandon it and like quit my job and like delete all of my social media, which I'm not going to lie. I have really been wanting to do that lately, not quit my job, but like delete my social medias. It's really difficult for people who have OCD to like be navigating this. And like, I used to delete my social media on occasion and I don't do that now because of my job. And it's really, really hard. I feel like I'm kind of chained to it. But I have to just ebb and flow, and I have to like basically like yesterday, like I didn't feel like filming, so I didn't film. Today I felt like filming, so I'm filming. Like I'm just going to kind of ride the wave. I'm going to ride the roller coaster, do what I can on the days that I feel like doing it. And then on the days that I don't, I'm going to self-care. And that's my message for the end of this. If you have made it this far through all of my rambling, something, I say this all the time, something is better than nothing. So like one workout is better than none. So instead of like trying to think that you need to do all the things all the time, do what you can with what you have with each day that you are presented with. Like tomorrow, I don't really have anything on my schedule. And I'm like, I'll probably keep my kids home tomorrow. Like, I just don't care anymore. Like every day less that they can be at their school is ideal for me at this point. And then we can sleep in and I don't have to worry about something happening. And it's just, that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. And it's very, very unfortunate. But that's where we're at. And I feel like millennials are due for a goddamn break. Like I really do. And I just don't see it happening. I think things are going to get worse before they get better, but it is really inspiring to see Gen Z actually like just legit not putting up with this fucking bullshit. Like they are fucking done. And I am living for it because it does now feel like, okay, this is our break. This as millennials, this is our break. Gen Z being like feral as fuck and not wanting to put up with this fucking bullshit. This is our break. We've done our time. We get to sit back and like let them change everything because I really truly have to hold out hope that they are going to change everything. Eventually, these dinosaurs in government will fucking die. Eventually, hopefully sooner than later. And we can now bring in like people who actually represent what most people want these days, which is the ability to send their kids to school without worrying that they're going to get murdered by an assault rifle at the very motherfucking least, among other things. I didn't even touch on the subject of fucking women's rights. Like, I didn't even touch on that, or the rights of transgender or gay people. I didn't even touch on any of that. But those are the things that Gen Z gives a fuck about. And those are the things that everybody needs to give a fuck about. And I'll say this. I said this to Josh last night. I've never understood why people genuinely are bothered and care why someone else chooses to live the life that they want to live for themselves. Like if it has no effect on you at all, why do you give a shit? Why? Like I look at these people who actually think that like banning books and banning drag shows with children. And I'm like, you really are that bothered by, and you genuinely think that they're a threat with these people is beyond me. Like, I don't understand it. It's stupid as fuck. Like, you have issues of your own if you are that uncomfortable with the way that someone else chooses to live their life. I just don't understand it. I never have. I never will. Like, and again, I'm going to say this. I said it in the beginning. As long as you're not hurting anybody or killing anybody or causing anybody like physical harm, live the way that you want to fucking live. Do you, however it is that you, like your sexual orientation, do you, whatever that is. And as long as it's not hurting anybody, who fucking cares? Like, I just don't understand why people care. So anyway, I'm not going to get into too much of a rant on this. I just want to remind you guys that shit is shit right now. Shit is shit. And whatever you can do to find something in your weeks or days that make you happy and brings you joy and fulfills you truly, like soul fulfills you, you need to be doing that. And sometimes that means taking a complete break from social media. If you can and you want to delete it, fucking delete it. Who cares? Don't get on it. Don't consume it. But at the end of the day, like we are still in control of how we are kind of navigating our days. And I had to really take a hard look at myself and some of the things I was doing, you know, when I'm sitting here talking about how, well, shit, I really need this medication, but I don't really want to be on, I don't want these side effects. Okay, well, what else can I do to maintain me being on this medication, because I know that I need it to function? Okay, I'm going to drop the dose and cut my coffee in half and try to limit my vodka Coke. Does it mean I'm stopping drinking it? No, I enjoy having it a couple nights a week, but it doesn't need to be every goddamn night like it has been. And so at the end of the day, like, doing something is better than doing nothing. Focus on not being 100%. Focus on being, if you have 5% to give in a day, then give 5% and count that as 100%. 5% of 5% equals 100%. And you have to look at it like that or you'll spiral. And I know, because I'm a perfect example of when, like, a lot of the stuff that happens now, I don't feel like I'm mentally equipped to handle it. And again, I'm not trying to be dramatic, but there are days where I'm like, what in the fuck is the point of living on this earth? I don't want to be here. Like, but I also know that, like, that's not something I want. That's truly not a path I want to take. It doesn't mean that I don't have those thoughts. And I think that normalizing having those thoughts is so important, because I never would have uttered that 4 years ago. I never would have told anybody that I was having those types of thoughts. And now, like, literally me and my sister were joking about it yesterday. We were literally laughing about it. And I think that that's normal. I think normalizing all of these things that we were once made to believe were fucking taboo is good for our mental health. And then when you normalize stuff like this, it almost takes the big scary out of it. And once you're able to talk about it in a real manner, I don't know, it just makes it, like, almost less likely to happen, I believe, which is why I do what I do. This is why I decided to film a podcast today. If you are struggling, you're not alone. You're not alone. I've never struggled this much in my life, to be honest, mentally. And there are days I don't know how I'm going to go on. I really don't. I'm not being dramatic. Like, I've always struggled with mental health, but now I feel like I'm just kind of like a ball of emotion 24 hours a day, and I don't know what to do with it. But my work and doing things like this and helping you guys feel that you are not alone is what feeds my soul. It makes me feel good about myself. It makes me feel like I am doing something to help. Working out helps. I have not been able to work out because I've been so freaking stressed out about my fucking heart rate, but I'm going to try to get back into working out today when I get home from picking the kids up. And just understand that if you're in a season of life right now, which a lot of us are, and a lot of us are spiraling, number one, you're not alone. Number two, you need to talk to someone about it. I'm always available. I'm on social media every day. Some days I may not be if I'm taking a mental health day, but it doesn't mean you can't reach out and send a message. I will see it whenever I get back on. And just try not to be all or nothing. Like, find a balance with things. Don't cut things out of your diet. Don't cut things out of your life that you need. Don't cut things out completely. Look at what you can do to mitigate the situation, but still do what you need to do, if that makes sense. And, you know, I guess that's it. I guess that's my message. I've gone on for a really long time today. I literally thought it would be a 30-minute episode, and now I need to get ready to run some errands. So if you guys have questions or just want to reach out and have someone be an ear, I am always here, and I'm on Instagram every day, TikTok every day. So that's it. And I will see you guys at the next episode, hopefully next week, of the CWC podcast. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of your mental health. And I think that's it for today.
Thank you for checking out the CWC podcast. If you want to learn more about our community, make sure to check out the show notes.